Now, recently I was having a look at the number of students that are attending both primary school and secondary school here in Kildare. I was quite interested to see the areas that have really exploded in terms of population growth, and we're all aware of some of those areas that are struggling with class places to meet the growing demand. But another thing that struck me were the two schools with the smallest number of students on their roll book, and I thought you might be interested to hear from them. Those schools are Bigstone National School, located on the Kildare, Carlow, Wicklow border, and Skull Nave Trasa, or Ballyroe Central National School, between Athy and Kilkee. Delighted to say that joining me this morning are the principals of both schools, Aoife Power and Avril Mann. You're both very welcome to Kildare today. And Aoife, I might begin with you then. Tell us about your beautiful school down in the area known as Bigstone.
Our school is Bigstone National School, and we're based on the borders with Kildare, Carlow and Wicklow. We currently have 21 students enrolled in our school. We're quite busy in school. The students all come in from 10 past 9, class starts at 9:20, and we run right until 3 o'clock in the day. So we have two classrooms in the school where we have junior to second class in one room and third class to sixth class in the other room. We have two full-time class teachers, and then we've a part-time support teacher. So we're the same as a big school. We cover everything that a bigger school would have. On Tuesday, we would have an external teacher would come in and teach music with our students. We cover a variety of sports in the school, from GAA, tag rugby, gymnastics, tennis, dancing. Every year, all the children in the entire school go swimming, from infants right up to sixth class. And then we just celebrate like a number of events then during the year as well, like Maths Week, Science Week, Seachtain na Gaeilge, Active Week and Sports Day. All those things that would happen in a bigger school happen still in a small school.
Yeah, quite an interesting location that you have as well. And we were talking just before we came on air that you really cover the Kildare, Carlow and Wicklow area, and you have students from all three of those counties.
We do, yes. So a lot of students that come to our school would have a very big kind of historical connection to the school, where previous family members would have went down through the generations. So the school dates back from 1824. So we're really, really strongly rooted in the community here in Bigstone.
Brilliant, brilliant. We'll come back to you in a moment. But Avril, I suppose just listening to what Aoife has said there, your school in Ballyroe, what about the numbers of students that you have? And I'm sure there are quite a lot of similarities there to Bigstone National School.
Yeah, so we're Ballyroe Central National School, otherwise known as Skull Nave Trasa. So we're a Desh rural school, which makes us kind of, I suppose, unusual in ways as well. So we're about 10 minutes outside Athy, and we have 24 pupils in total. So we've got 14 in the senior room, which would be my classroom, and that would be third class to sixth class. And then we have 10 in the junior room, which would be junior infants to second class. And yeah, like Aoife there, we're very similar to any other school across Kildare, across Ireland, in terms of the initiatives that we have and in terms of our day. But everything is on a smaller scale with our pupil number. In saying that, in other schools where a fifth and sixth class might only get to do the digital schools curriculum. So we do the digital schools curriculum with Coding Ireland. And whereby maybe it's just a fifth and sixth class in another school, our third to sixth class get to do it here. Similarly, all our kids participate in the tag rugby and the coaching that happens. Our third, sixth class senior room will be participating in the Say Yes to Language initiative, and they'll all be learning sign language after Christmas. It's amazing, even though we work on a much smaller scale, all our kids are a lot more, active and active participants in everything. Even in terms of our active school flag, our committee is our senior classroom. And it's the same with our amber flag. That would be, our junior classroom. They get to be involved in a lot more of those initiatives and are a lot more hands-on, the kids. Because we're so small, we do give the kids, a greater voice in those initiatives as well. And we're similar to Aoife there, we're busy, like I said, with the active flag, with our amber flag. We have well-being initiatives after Christmas, and we'll be visiting the bog as part of our SCSE. So we're busy. Yeah. We're definitely busy, but on a smaller scale.
And you're principal, but also teaching as well. And I'm always interested how a class like that is taught when you have students that range from third class right up to sixth. You know, what kind of level do you aspire to be teaching at then when you're dealing with a different age range of students?
The trickiest subject, well, for me anyway, is maths, I suppose. And that one, obviously differentiation across the board. But that's where I suppose, you know, your learning support teachers coming in to kind of help out, you know, where I suppose to, in terms of splitting the class and to try and cover a very, very broad curriculum. But regard to like with English and Irish, like for those books, forget about maybe a standardized textbook, let's say. So it's very much like you're pulling all your resources that you have over the years and you're basically just differentiating. But I think within that as well, the kids become very independent. Like the amount of times a sub teacher has come in or a learning support teacher or someone else from a different school has come in and said, wow, your kids are so independent. They're so used to kind of working on, you know, let's say if I'm working with fifth and sixth, the third and fourth are used to kind of working on by themselves. That in itself is a wonderful skill to have. But there's a lot of planning in what we do. Like I'm 8 years now in it. Initially, it was a lot to get your head around. You just learn from your mistakes in your earlier career. But differentiation. But it's amazing what we do get covered in our day here. We're quite happy enough with the standard of Irish and maths and English and all the other bits as well.
Brilliant stuff. And Aoife, to bring you back in again then, and it is kind of worth remembering that this is the way schools were back, you know, in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, when a lot of people who were listening in would have grown up in school and all the classrooms were taught in the same class. And I was speaking to somebody over the course of the weekend who were saying that we actually learnt a lot more. If you have a 4 or 5 year old in a classroom where 6 and 7 year olds are being taught, or you have an 8 year old in a classroom where 9, 10, 11 year olds are being taught, children are like sponges. You'd be surprised at how much they can take in and develop when they're in that kind of environment.
Yeah, absolutely. So we find this was very similar to Avril's school. You know, the differentiation across the school is something we would do a lot, but the children would learn kind of more from a thematic viewpoint. So rather than saying kind of sixth class have to do this and, you know, third class have to kind of work on a different topic, everyone will be working on the same topic. So then the older children are receiving that exposure that they might not receive if they were just in a third class on their own. And it will be the same down in the junior room, particularly we find kind of in the area of Irish, English and maths, where the infants, from the time they come in, they're exposed to what's happening in first and second class maths, which in other schools they wouldn't when they're just in there on their own.
We've talked about class sizes here on the programme before and, you know, parents and teachers expressing concerns about the pupil to teacher ratio. And here in Ireland, we do have generally very large class sizes, but that's not something that schools like yourselves struggle with. So I'm sure the students benefit from that kind of one-to-one interaction.
Oh, they absolutely do. So, you know, we don't obviously have the numbers of you know, 25, 30 in a classroom. In my room, we have 9 students. So you're very much able to tailor the teaching and the learning that's happening in the room to cater for the individual needs of the students, which is fantastic.
But I actually also, to build on that point as well, I think there's such a continuity in the learning as well, because obviously we would have kids from third to sixth class. So you're not just getting to know them over 1 year, you're getting to know them over 4 years. So you're building on that knowledge of them for the 4 years as well. So you do kind of get a really good opportunity to get to know the kids and to kind of tune into their learning needs.
It kind of, school becomes very much, in with small numbers, like a family setting, because you get to know the children so, so well over the course of the whole time that they're in the school. You know everyone really, really well, and like that, you get to know the families really, really well in the school also.
That's absolutely it. Like, I think it's the kids really look out for each other here. And I suppose there is that deeper connection with the school as well. That they, like, I don't know if you get that with a bigger school, like, because they're so involved in all the initiatives. I think even for their own sense of self and their own sense of well-being, I think they walk away from like our schools feeling a lot more like they've achieved more within the school while they were there. You know, and I think it's really pupil centered because it's so we're so small in numbers. You'd like to think that we're kind of really exposing how brilliant and great, you know, and beautiful all the kids are. You're continually tapping away at, like I said, their well being, and yeah, like that's it. Like to be fair, it's always positive, and yeah, like it's we're always yeah, like I said, proud of them, and I think there's lots of benefits to our little schools as well.
What about some of the negatives then that you might face, or the challenges that you would face, I suppose, is a better way of putting it, because there are all those positives and benefits. The small class sizes, I'm sure you're not really struggling that much with getting teachers in or hiring teachers, which we're seeing in the big schools where they're really struggling to get teachers coming out of college and teaching. But are there any drawbacks, and if so, what are the drawbacks of having such a small school, particularly in a rural area?
In our case, I wouldn't say that necessarily that there is drawbacks. I would just say that it's, you know, the small school experience is quite different to a large school environment, and it really just in terms of kind of people making decisions, it's just a preference as to what you want for your child starting school.
Yeah, and I think it's like for us, like I think when you've taught in a small school as well, I think you can really see the benefits, but also you can see how important the school is to the community, you know, and that's really all you want to push, is try and keep the school open for as long as possible, because the benefits that it has, that not only on the kids within the school, but also the outer community, the benefit that the school has, like even neighbours hearing the kids out playing at break, like it does draw the community closer together. So you'd like to think that we can keep them open as long as possible, and you know, keep all that kind of that sense of community within the community as well.
Yeah, and just to clarify as well, when I say negatives or drawbacks, I don't mean for the students. I mean for yourselves as a school. Do you feel as though, you know, that there could be more funding pumped into smaller schools? Do you feel sometimes that you could be overlooked? Because it is important, as you say, Avril, that these schools stay open. And unfortunately, we will have seen in the past the smaller schools falling by the wayside and having to close, unfortunately.
I think in terms of, I suppose, maybe planning, and it's but this is the general problem, not just with rural schools. Mm. It was a lot of that new housing estates that are being built or being built near the bigger towns. And I suppose that creates a draw then for the bigger town schools. And unfortunately, for the likes of us, where services, like, you know, we wouldn't have maybe the same a shop or a post office near us here. But we obviously, all the community really has is a school. That's where if you know, maybe planning in the future could be maybe towards maybe creating, maybe rather than just developing the school, maybe developing the community as a whole, so the community has access to buses and maybe a little shop or a post office. And I think it's more of a general conversation about rural areas, not just, I suppose, about rural schools.
Yeah, you're in Ballyroe, yeah. And Aoife, you're yeah. out in Bigstone, and I know you have the school there and the community hall, but would you take the point that Avril is making, that other than that, there isn't that those kind of services around, and do you think that has any impact on the school?
I think it absolutely does. We wouldn't have a school bus service that comes to the school, so for anyone wanting to come to our school, you know you are relying on parents to be able to drive, and you know, in terms of even childcare in the area, you know, we don't have any community childcare facilities, so those kind of things do make it very, very hard to access small schools. So even people who maybe are living in towns that would like to send their children to smaller schools, the facilities aren't there for parents coming out to our area.
And finally then, we're just into the new year, of course, and a lot of people will be looking at the plans going forward. In terms of the enrolment in both of your schools then, are there long waiting lists, or generally do you meet the amount of, does the demand and the growth and the need actually equal up?
For the year ahead, we, in terms of spaces that we would have, we are generally able to meet the need that the school would have, or the community would have, for places in school. Yeah,
same as ourselves. Yeah. So we're always open to new enrolments, regardless of even junior infants right up to, you know, not just junior infants, right up to sixth class. And we have been very fortunate this year to have that happen. But yeah, it's just a year on year thing as well. you open your enrollments in January like every other school and you see what happens.
Well, listen, it's been fascinating talking to you both on the programme this morning because, as I mentioned from the outset, oftentimes we hear about the big towns and the big villages and the big schools, and that's fair enough because there's lots of fantastic work going on in all schools, shapes and sizes around County Kildare. But I was just particularly interested to speak to you both when I saw that you had the smallest numbers of students in County Kildare. And Aoife Power is the principal of Big Stone National School, which is located on the Kildare-Carlow-Wicklow border with just over 20 students, and Skull Nave Trasa or Ballyroe Central National School between Athy and Kilkee. The principal there, Avril Mann, also just over 20 students, and it was very fascinating to get an insight on how the two schools work on a day-to-day basis. Thanks to you both for joining us on the programme, and keep your messages coming in on 0833 97 97 97.